The collages, paintings, and drawings that adorn the soft, sage-green walls of Joan Phillips's private practice in Norman, Oklahoma, are both intentionally anonymous and explicitly telling of the abuse, depression, and family issues that her clients face. As a counselor, Phillips abides by the mantra, "Do no harm," but through art therapy, she encourages her clients to transform their vulnerability and pain into images that enlighten or embody their struggle. Her clients' art will never be exhibited or seen by the public, but Phillips hopes the unique practice of art therapy will finally gain the attention she believes it deserves.
I think the main thing people don't know about art therapy or the creative therapies is just that they even exist. There's the client and the therapist and the art. And the art itself is sort of like a player that we can sit back and look at that art and talk about it like it's another person in the session. And some techniques even include, like, what would that tree say if it could talk, or what would the girl in the picture do, so that you can kind of get some distance from your problems and talk about the art, not yourself.
Can you describe a scenario of a client coming in and you meeting them for the first time and deciding what to do in that first meeting?
I might not even use art in the first session because I don't want, especially with an adult, I don't want to scare them off or throw them in the deep end of the pool expressively. Very early on, by the second session, I'm definitely going to have them doing some art. And with adults, it's typically a collage. And with children, it's typically whatever they want to do because they're more likely to choose and engage and have ideas on their own. So I don't even have to think of what they should do. They'll just jump in.
You deal with children who have suicidal thoughts, abuse in the family, and depression issues. How do you employ art to help them face or cope with those issues?
First, I try to set an atmosphere of acceptance for there's no expression that's not okay. There's nothing you're going to show me or do or express that I don't, you know, want to see. I'm accepting of it all. And then in their art, I'm going to be really looking for signs of hopelessness, which is the key factor on suicide. If you see a lot of hopelessness, it's really a red flag. So I'm trying to assess a lot, but at the same time, let the client know that it's fine to tell me those things. They don't have to cover it up. They don't have to hide those feelings. And I'm going to try to work to keep them safe.
So you practice at the Art Therapy Center in Norman, working with children and families, but you're also an instructor of art therapy at the University of Oklahoma. What's it like going back and forth between those two worlds, one that's more personal and then one that's more academic?
Of course, therapy is a very taxing profession, and you get a lot of what we call secondary trauma or burnout or issues of working with people. So for me, it's almost like a break coming to the university and dealing with basically healthy, intelligent, curious individuals that are looking at art therapy from that academic point of view, but still seeking some self-development and expression. I'm very invigorated by it, sharing my profession, hearing their comments, watching them get interested. And it kind of recharges me for the work at the office with clients, which is more slow. I don't always see the same amount of results. It takes time to really know if someone's getting better using art therapy. So it's a good balance for me.
Do you use art to deal with your role as a therapist?
I don't make art along with clients. I'm always focused on them. But between sessions and my own time, I will create art about my work. I actually write a lot of poetry these days. And so poetry is another way that I can express what's going on in a session, but not name any names, or I may not even share it with anybody. So I use art very much to recharge and express and play and relieve tension. And I teach other therapists, even non-art therapists, that that's a great outlet.
What experience in your practice or in the classroom has made you stop and realize I'm doing what I'm meant to do as a profession?
Well, you know, they might be few and far between. I think in class, it's almost easier because I actually get feedback from students through various writing that I ask for that I can tell that what they're seeing and hearing has some personal impact. With clients, I don't always get the pleasure of knowing how their lives turn out. You know, once they're through seeing me, I really have no way of knowing how well they're doing. I try not to end therapy until I have a good feeling that they have made the changes they need and that they're going to function in a better way or solve the problem they came for.
How difficult is it to just be a therapist, putting this happy face on for the client?
Sometimes people think, oh, I would love to be a therapist because I just love people so much or love to talk to them and listen. But That's good, but that's actually not the criteria. It's actually like you need to be able to have a boundary with what you're hearing and not take it home and not make it personal so that you can be of assistance to someone, more of a mirror than a sponge. And so I think part of it is that personal being suited to it that makes it okay. And I love art, and the fact that I can use it in my job is just wonderful. I kind of jokingly say I get to use crayons at work, and who wouldn't want to do that? I guess there are people that wouldn't, but for me, it's a good fit with my own creativity and artistic impulses, just because I enjoy it. And for me, it's really not a strong line between my life and my work. They're just kind of all rolled together, so I'm just going to keep on living.
For Assignment Radio, I'm Molly Evans.